Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's been very good to be here this morning already to worship together. I always just thought I'd mention, for those of you that don't know, Sunday mornings there's usually a few brothers meeting up in the back here for prayer, and it's always a blessing to take part of that, pray together with the body before we go to the service, and everyone is welcome to come. So just wanted to let you all know that. Let's just pause for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, with humble hearts. Lord, I need you to share what you have laid on my heart. I need you because I am so fallible and so prone to fail and make mistakes, Lord, as we discussed. God, would you give strength? Would you give wisdom? Would you give words? May your Spirit be in this place. May your Spirit guide our thoughts, each one, Lord. And Lord, would you make this word alive to us, that it would go out and meet the different needs that are here in this building. Lord, in my flesh, I cannot do that. We rely on you. May your grace and mercy be with us also. We just want to ask that this time would be a time of honoring you and becoming more like you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, I want to start in James chapter 3. And I realized that as I was preparing for this message that I think it will cross with the message that we had several weeks ago, and I hope that the brother will be okay with that. I appreciated that message very much, and I'm not trying in any way to give the impression that that was not complete. But my heart had been on the thoughts that were further on in the message, in this chapter, before he preached that message already, and I felt that I would just go ahead with that. The brother preached on the tongue and the use of the tongue, and what had been going through my mind was more verse 11 and 12 of chapter 3, and we're going to go through several different passages, and I don't know if I'm not very good at giving titles to messages, but I was thinking of examining the tree, and we want to do that this morning. Also, not that I'm trying to just point fingers at you, but I know that God has been searching my heart in this area, and I want to share some of those things. So certainly at the end of our life, we want to have walked in a way that God was pleased with us, and we don't want to wait till that last minute to be able to be walking that way. We want to walk that way all of our life. It's my desire. I was really blessed also by the service on Tuesday. It was what we call a funeral service, but it felt to me after, in the evening, I was thinking about that, and it just felt like a worship service to me on Tuesday. I believe God's name was lifted up, in that service, and I was really thankful for that. We are just simple people, and we want to think. We don't want to, put a cost to following God and say that it's too high. We don't want people to just think well of us and make things look right on the outside, but we want to truly be right. We want God to say it's well. And I'm thankful for these verses that are written for our learning. We can't just try to hang a good fruit on a corrupt tree. We're going to see that as we go through this portion. That's not reality. And I've also been studying with the youth about our thoughts, and in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's not that, I don't know, we could probably misinterpret that one. But I think we get the meaning that who we truly are is down in our heart. And Jesus also many times challenged the people about their thoughts. Of course, he could see the thoughts, but he challenged the people's thoughts that he came in contact with, that our thoughts would be proper and right. So I believe our thoughts become actions, they bring actions. So let's look at James chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. We'll read that portion here. Therewith, this is talking about the tongue, just towards the end of that. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain bring forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. All right. We have here the comparison of a fountain and a tree, and it's, I believe, very simple to understand, very obvious questions, very obvious answers to these questions. We don't get sweet water and bitter out of our wells at the same place. And neither do we need a lot of teaching to acknowledge that olive berries do not grow on fig trees. The farmer seeds in his field what he wants to reap. Generally, if you want a crop of corn, you plant corn seed. We don't need to go ask a scientist with an apple in our hand to ask him what kind of a tree did this grow on. And neither do we have to go very far to, look at the fruit of our life and we see what the tree is like. And that is sobering to me. As I was thinking of this, I was thinking of the fruit of my life. What is it like? And I see many needs in my life. I need the brotherhood to help in this and to help me walk in truth. And in another passage, I think we'll see how Jesus looked at not just the generation that he was talking to, but the generation that was the people that he was talking to. He was talking about their children. And I was thinking of that as well as I was preparing for this message, that what is the fruit in my children? And that is even a greater thing in my life than it is my desire that the fruit of my children will be also what God can call good. Good fruit. Verse 13, who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? We want to be that wise man, but he says, show it by your conversation. Show it by your life. We can talk all we want about good things, but if we're not doing that, if we're not being that, I believe that's vain. Verse 14 says, I just had to think of the fruit of our hearts is so revealing of who we are. It says here, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory and don't lie against the truth. This is just as plain as it gets. Our the fruit of our heart reveals. And verse 15 talks about that as well. Certainly things that we do not want to be involved in. We don't want to. We want to repent of those things. And we need to when we see these things in our life. The wisdom that is from above is first pure and all those things, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. So we want fruit of righteousness. Now I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at a good part of this chapter. And it's basically talking about, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here. And sometimes it's easy for me to think of how hypocritical those Pharisees were, but I think the Word of God is for me, for us, today. And as we read through here, I believe we'll start at the beginning and read to verse 37. One thing I want to point out that Jesus was getting at the heart of people, even though they tried to avoid it, I guess, at times, but he's trying to get down to the heart. So let's read this chapter and we'll make some comments after. Matthew chapter 12, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And as I was reading this, I don't believe that there was ever a time in Jesus' life that he walked in carelessness. Because of these verses, I feel that some of these verses get taken out of context. So Jesus, I don't believe, was a careless man in his life. Verse 2, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. There's a few places in this chapter where he said that those words, there is one greater than the temple, it says here. I just thought that was interesting. Verse 7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment on the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I found it very interesting that almost like they were trying to change the subject here in verse 38. Because after hearing all that Jesus had to say unto them, they asked him, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And I'm not sure if they were doing that or not, but it seemed almost like they were trying to get on a different subject because of what Christ had told them. And it really did come down to the point. So we will be looking at mostly verse 22 down. Here they were sharing their concern that they had about the situation. Instead of rejoicing that this person was delivered from his affliction, I mean, imagine this person not only blind and dumb, but he was possessed with a devil. And Jesus comes and heals this person. Instead of rejoicing in that a person had been delivered from this, they were looking for trouble again. I believe it is obvious that their hearts were, in fact, evil, like he says later on, like Jesus said. Verse 24, they shared their concern. He's casting out devils by the prince of devils, which Jesus addressed then. I always love the way Jesus handled the situation. He could have got into an argument here. Said, no, I didn't do that by the prince of devils. But he basically, instead of getting into that dispute, he went into getting right down to the point and sharing what truly the need was here. And he does that even with us, I believe. You know, I had to think of when things don't make sense, sometimes Jesus, like he does here, he just says, like, let's just open up the situation and let's look a little deeper at what the real issue is here. He didn't try to avoid anything. And that's a blessing that he doesn't do that. Here was people that had come to him. They did come with a wrong motive, but he still didn't turn them away. He still wants to do that with us. He wants us to understand things, not just to be turned away if we don't understand. Verse 25 and 26. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. It's not possible for that to work. It's not possible for an organization to be divided against itself and then that the goals of that kingdom could be reached. It will not happen. I think it's a good picture of the church that we need to be unified. We need to be walking together. He doesn't bring that in here, but I believe that it can be compared to that. Verse 27, very interesting thought here. He points to their children and says, what I get out of this is basically let the fruit of your children be judge, or let the fruit of your children be basically say who you are, who I am. The fruit's my children. And that's sobering in a sense that we should do that, but again, we are given several different examples here of things to compare it to. Verse 28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, if I'm real, then the kingdom of God has come to you, and we knew that was the case. Let's look at verse 29. I still don't believe that I fully understand this verse, but basically whoever is in control of the house, if that house is going to be overtaken, there has to be a stronger force than what's in control there now. Let's look at this man, or I guess it was a man that was possessed of a devil. There had to be a stronger force brought into the situation to bind that strong man so that he could be freed of that. Or else you can't just go in and take the house if there's someone stronger there than yourself. So Jesus had that power. And that is the same Jesus that we serve today. He can come in and he has the power to bind and to take that house, take control of that house. Verse 30. I mean, again, very straightforward, straight to the point. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And when I read that verse, you know, so often we want to add some more options. He gives two here. It's either you're with me or you're against me, and that's it. And it's my prayer for myself that I would be with him. I would be gathering with him. We won't look at verse 32 very much. We'll go to verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good. It's basic. It's very basic. Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Let's keep it simple, I guess, is what I'm saying. The tree is known by his fruit. Every tree is known by his fruit. And obviously, Jesus here was not talking to them about trees or not. That wasn't his end goal, give them a lesson on trees. He was trying to get down to their hearts, and for us today the same. Getting down to our hearts. What are we serving? Who are we serving? What kind of fruit is on the tree or in our life? Yeah, it's not possible for a corrupt person to bear good fruit, or to that Jesus would call that good fruit that we could bear, unless we are in the process of turning to him or coming to him. Or a good person bear corrupt fruit. We don't want to. I realize what we were sharing here, that there is times where we do fail. And we're not talking about those times where we don't live in those things. We don't continue in those things of sin. We turn away from them. Verse 34, finally he comes down and he calls them something that I can only imagine that would have been offensive. A generation of vipers. And he says, how can ye being evil speak good things? It's like a very obvious answer. It's not possible. If we are evil, to speak good things, or to out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Very basic. Easy to understand. Let's go to John 15 now. What is the answer to all of this? And I believe that we have this very, very common passage, very well known. I don't believe that I'm going to share anything new here this morning, but it's all been gone over already. But we have the story of the vine here. And how we need to be connected. And Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with us. And that is how it is possible for us to bear good fruit. We, out of ourselves, it's not possible to be that good tree, to bear the good fruit. Let's read some verses here in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's so true. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We'll read this far. Being attached to the vine, we see here is the key. And we see in this passage that Jesus purges those that do not bear fruit the way they should. And we see long-sufferingness in that. I'm so thankful for that, that God is patient and long-suffering with me. If it wasn't for that, I'm sure I would have been cut off long ago. And one thing that we see here is that his desire is that we would be one with him and with the Father. And I believe that is a very important part of this passage. Verse 2 talks about bearing fruit or not bearing fruit. And I believe it is all of our desire to do that, to bear fruit, the fruit that Jesus wants us to bear. And again, looking at my own life, I had to confess that there is many needs and that he is still purging. I thank God for that. Verse 3, the word of Jesus cleanses. Is it doing that to me today? Verse 3 says, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And isn't that amazing how we can be cleansed like that? Reading God's word cleanses. Verse 5, our nothingness. It says here, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him. It's that connection, that relationship from both sides, not just him coming to us, but we also in turn going to him. For without me ye can do nothing. No matter how good of an opinion we have or ideas, we have to do it Christ's way. Without me, you can do nothing. And again, shows us our smallness, our weakness. Even though sometimes we like to be in control. That's not what God is saying here. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, it's not well with him. It's not just, oh well, that it's no big deal, but he will be destroyed if we do not abide in Christ. We're cast forth as a branch and withered. And these branches will be cast into the fire and they will be burned. There is everlasting destruction. I thought of the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are Christ's workmanship. That is so great. Let's look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And again, a verse that can be, I believe, taken out of context. I don't think that he's saying that we can just ask for whatever we want, that our flesh would desire. But it's talking about us being in Christ and our wills having been laid down. And we will be asking what is the Father's will. We'll be asking what is God's will. Not things to consume them upon our own lusts. It says here, that's how our Father is glorified in verse 8. If we bear fruit. Let's look at verse 10. Very beautiful verse. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, And then the last part says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I think that's a beautiful picture of how Jesus was abiding in the Father. He was keeping his commandments, abiding in his love. We can see that all through his life. And that's how he wants us to walk. Keep his commandments, abide in his love. And that's a wonderful relationship. Verse 12, my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is what the church needs. And like we mentioned, not just our close friends, our close brothers and sisters, but the world needs to be seeing an expression of love. Another place it points out that if we are walking in these things, that will be a sign to the world. And I believe that is a tremendous sign to the world. Next verse there, that a man would lay down his life. There's no greater love than that. And Jesus did that in fulfilling the Father's commandment. He laid down his life for us. Ye are my friends, he calls us here in verse 14. Not just servants, we are his friends. I don't call you servants. Sorry, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Sorry, he says, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Beautiful that Jesus would have done that. We can walk in the Father, in the Father's will. Verse 16 yet. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's my desire for my life, that I could walk in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Doing the Father's will. God has ordained it that way. Again, not asking things for our own selfish pleasures, but in the name of Jesus and by the will of Jesus. And yes, talking here about a close relationship between us and Christ. Something that we should carefully guard. Be careful that nothing gets in between that relationship. Jesus is reaching out to us, and he is always faithful. We want to thank God for that. He is always faithful. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen.